tonight we're going to get into God's Word, and if you would, just stand with me one more time for just a moment. I know you guys have been dancing before the Lord, but we don't want you to sit down and get sleepy. I want you to stand up with me. Because tonight I want to talk to those of us in the room, that those of you that you know you were created by God to do something significant, something meaningful, something eternal, something that matters. And you know, I believe that many of you, you might even sense that God has something very, very special for you to do, but you just don't know what it is. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to share a verse with you, and I pray that what it's going to do is build your faith to a point that's going to encourage you so that you know by the time you leave here that you were uniquely created by God for His glory, and He has a purpose for you, and that you are going to be called to make a difference in this world, all right? So I want to read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. I want to start out in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. This is the Apostle Paul as he's writing from a Roman prison. He's imprisoned, and this is probably around, the best I could tell, is 61 A.D. or so. And so here's what he says. He says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you." Man, do you feel his emotion in this? He's saying, "To lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." He's saying, "I'm pleading with you to live a life, this one life that's been given to you, I'm pleading you to live it worthy of the calling that God has placed on your life." And so now before you sit down, I want you to just elbow somebody and say, "I'm called by God." All right, you can have a seat, and we're gonna get into God's Word. And tonight my message is called, I titled it, "Is God Calling Me?" And I think that this is a question that we get asked a lot. And I have the answer for you, just in case you don't know. It's a short answer. It's yes. Yes, our God is calling you. So bow your heads with me if you will. Father, we pray that tonight by the power of your word and by the presence of your Holy Spirit, that tonight you would stir up your church, your people, to sense the divine calling that you have on each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you'd help us to make this known to a world that's lost and dying tonight. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You know, in our culture that we live in today, you might call it instafluence, if you will. I love to make up words, but instafluence, where you can become like TikTok famous overnight, right? I mean, if you got the right dance moves, and I've seen some of you do, you know, you guys might, you might be a TikTok star by the morning comes, just for doing silly stuff, right? But we're in an age where people seem to be obsessed with wanting to be famous, becoming an influencer of some sort, securing some sort of a side hustle, you know, in their life. And so what I want to do is I want us to understand, what does it mean to be called by God? And so I want to look at the root Greek word for calling, and it's honestly one of the, you know, to me, most significant or even important words of all the New Testament. It's the Greek word, and it's kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, and it's the root of 16 other important words in the New Testament, all right? I'm not going to go over all 16, but I do want to give you a few of them, like klesis. It's the root word of klesis. It means calling, or kletos, which means called, or paraclete, which means comforter. Parakletos, you may hear that word, which means the advocate or the intercessor, or ecclesia, which is the church or an assembly of believers. It's ek, which means out of, and kaleo, to call. And so it means that we are the ones that are called out. You see, we're not called into a building, we're called to go into all the world. Amen? And so now when you think about this, and if you really want to own this statement that we are called by God, if you recognize that and you think to yourself, man, I am genuinely set apart by God. I'm chosen, gifted by God, and called by Him to make a difference in this world. When you own that a little bit, it puts a little bit of weight on your day-to-day stuff, doesn't it? When you think about this in a day-to-day environment. Because if you're called by God, then you might wonder, what if I miss my calling? What if I mess this up? You know, in other words, what if I choose the wrong career? Or what if I choose the wrong friends and they take me down the wrong path and influence me to do something I shouldn't be doing? Or what if I went to the wrong church and I didn't hear the right message that was going to inspire me to live for Jesus? Or what if I make the wrong turn and a train is there and it slows me down and I miss an appointment that could have changed my destiny? So what if I miss my calling? That's a wonder that I usually had when I was young. I would think, man, I wonder if I'm on the right path still. But we have to realize that if God is calling us, He's choosing us for something special. And what is it specifically that God has called me to do? That might be the question that you're asking tonight. And it's important, but I think if you're taking notes tonight, you may want to jot this one down. You see, when God calls you, He calls you to a do before He calls you. I mean, He calls you to a who before He calls you to a do. All right? So we have to embrace that truth that His calling is about who you are before it's about what you do. Does that make sense? And this is an important fact for us, and I love the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy verse 1 and 9, chapter 1, verse 9, when he says, "For God saved us and called us." You see, let me tell you what he didn't say in this scripture. He didn't say that God saved you and called you to be a missionary to Africa. Now, he might do that. God might call you to be a missionary, but that's not what Paul is saying here. And he didn't say you're called to be a second grade teacher, did he? He didn't say that. He didn't say that you're called to a certain task or a job. What he said here is, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. To live a holy life. You see, it's a who before a do. God did, and it says here, God did this not because we deserve it, but because this was His plan from before the beginning of time to show us His grace through Jesus. You see, God called you and me to live a holy life. In other words, calling is as much about who you're becoming as it is about what you're doing. Okay? You see, you're called to be holy. The Greek word there is hagios, all right? And it means to be set apart. It means to be different. So in other words, as you follow Jesus, you don't look like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't think like the world. And you don't behave like the world. You see, you're not driven by the things that drive other people because you've been set apart from God, and we know this. You're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can live this holy life that Paul is talking about. And so when you look at Scripture, it's interesting to me that the Bible never talks about your calling for a career. It never does. The Bible talks about your calling to become more like Jesus and to follow Him, right? And so it's a who before it's a do. And so when you recognize you're called by God, the main question isn't, well, what am I called to do? A better question, I think, would be is, who am I called to become? Because if a calling is only about what you do, I'm telling you, things can get really confusing really fast. Let me kind of try to explain that to you. I'm going to ask you a question, and I hope you'll participate with it. But how many of you, knowing me, you would say that I'm called to preach the gospel? Raise your hand. Okay, I got some of you, no hands up. That hurts my feelings a little bit. just kidding. So somebody don't want to answer on the grounds it might increment. No, just kidding. So some people might say that I'm called to be a pastor and to preach the gospel. And so The problem is that I'm also called to be a husband to Shelley, right? And so how many of you would agree with that, that I'm supposed to be a good husband to Shelley, right? More hands went up on that. I don't know. And now that takes a whole different skill set than what it does to be up here, right? To fulfill that calling, it's a whole different skill set. So, for example, say Shelley and I have what we would like to call a constructive discussion. That's preacher talk for argument, okay? And so say we have one of these constructive discussions, and it's at the end of that discussion, I look at Shelley and I say, you know what? If you want to receive Jesus into your heart, raise your hand at the count of three. You know, that wouldn't go over well, would it? I would imagine at the end of the count of three, I'd probably be searching my soul for Jesus too. So it's not going to fly because it's a different setting and it's a different calling. And so I'm called to be a preacher and I'm called to be a husband. And in fact, Shelley and I are almost at 30 years. In April will be 30 years. Yeah, she deserves every bit of that. Not me, she does. But 23 years ago, along came Sadie. And she didn't call me husband or pastor. She calls me daddy. And so now I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a husband. And I'm called to be a father to my children. And I'm still the same person. And yet, I've got different expressions of the calling. Is this making sense? Okay. And so what I hope you'll recognize tonight in your own life is that who you are is way, way, way more important to God than starting with what you do. Does that make sense? It's more important of who you are than what you do to God. In other words, if I'm called to be a preacher and yet I'm not living a righteous life and I'm not living a holy life, well, then I'm not fulfilling my calling, am I? And if I'm not loving Shelley and Sadie, well, then, but I might be successful in some other area, but I'm still not taking care of Shelley, well, then I'm not fulfilling my calling there either. So I could be a good preacher and I could work really, really hard to preach a message that you might like and it might have some influence over your life. But if I'm neglecting my family, I'm not fulfilling my calling. Because a calling isn't about something important that you do in the future. Calling is about your faithful to Jesus today. It's about who you are today. It's not just about what you do in the future. And so the Apostle Paul says something in Corinthians 3, verse 17, that I thought really ministered to me. 3:17, Colossians, I think I said the wrong chapter there, but the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says this. He says, "And whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So whatever you do it as unto the Lord, right? And so I want to show you an example in Scripture. And this is not only kind of powerful, but it's also kind of funny to me whenever I get to, my mind goes into these Scriptures. But I want to show you a couple of stories and how they kind of intertwine. So in Mark chapter 10 is one of them, and Mark chapter 11 will be the other one. Excuse me. So in Mark chapter 10, there's two brothers, James and John, right? And they're going to ask Jesus for a little favor whenever they get a chance to talk to him. And so they got a chance and they're sitting down. And I just want to paraphrase a little bit of what they said. It was like one day they're sitting down and they're saying, "Hey, Jesus, you know, whenever you're sitting on your throne in heaven and you're ruling and reigning, can one of us sit on the right of you and can the other sit on the left? You see, Jesus, we want to be important like you." And we see in this story here in chapter 10 where Jesus looks on at them and he kind of gives them this message. And he says this in no uncertain terms. But he says, if you want to be a leader, first, you need to be a servant. He goes on and he tells them, he says, look, if you want to be first, well, then what you actually need to do is be last. And so he's trying to teach them that it's who you are and not just where you're positioned. Okay? And that's powerful when we think about that. And so that's Mark chapter 10, where the two brothers, James and John, are talking. Well, in the next chapter in Mark 11, if you read that, well, Jesus and his disciples, they were approaching Jerusalem for that famous triumphal entry where Jesus is going to come into Jerusalem. And he's preparing to give his life for you and I. And it's very likely that that the disciples were thinking, hey, you know what? We're coming into this town with Jesus, the Son of God, and we've left so much behind to be here for this very big moment. And then this is what they say in Mark chapter 11, verse 1, says this. It says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came from towns of Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus did this. He says, Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Now, what's interesting is that Mark doesn't really tell us who they were, which two that he chose to go ahead. But I can tell you, if I was Jesus and I just had a conversation with two guys asking to be important, I might have an object lesson for them on this day. You know, I might be like, hey, I need two guys. Oh, y'all want to be important? Come on up here, you know. And so I can't guarantee that Jesus sent these two, but boy, in my mind when I'm reading this story, I'm thinking Jesus sent James and John. And so so he sends James and John, and they're thinking, oh, man, here we go. He's got a big assignment for us. We're going to be important, and he's probably doing this because we're so wise. He's probably doing this because we're his right hand, you know. And so they're thinking they're going to get to do something really important, like maybe cast out a demon or call down some fire from heaven or something, you know. But that's not what Jesus says to him. Jesus says this to him, the two that he chose. He says, go into that village over there, he told them. And as soon as you enter it, you'll see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs it and we'll return it soon. And I can imagine these two disciples, if it was them, they're like, wait a minute, Jesus, what are you talking? You're putting us on donkey duty? You know, you're giving me donkey duty? Really? You know, I'm important. I'm your right-hand man. I should have a better job than this, you see? But that's not the way that Jesus seen it. You know, they're like, man, we're not going to get any recognition for this. People aren't going to remember us for going and getting the donkey, are they? And so they're like, Jesus, I can't believe you're putting us on donkey duty. And so the disciples, they were about to learn that the size of your assignment never determines the significance of your impact. I want to say that again, all right? The size of your assignment never determines the significance of your impact. The size of your assignment that God might calling you to do, it might be really, really big. But also, he might call you to do something where you're like, man, I don't feel very important doing that. And so the significance of this is that you have to understand that it's more about the impact and not your assignment. And so you look at this and you can see other stories in the Bible, like just like the shepherd boy David, who determined in the Old Testament that a very small stone, that he could take it out and make a really big giant fall, right? Or how about the little boy in the New Testament who took out his little Lunchable and shared it with Jesus, and Jesus fed 5,000 men and women and children. You see, you're set apart by God. You and I were chosen just like these people in the Bible were chosen. And whatever you're called to do, even if it's donkey duty, if you'll do it with faithfulness and you do it with passion and you do it with integrity, because it's so important because of who you are, you do it for the one who gave it all for you. Amen? So it's much more about the who than it is about the do. Now, these two disciples, they may have had no idea that they were going to be delivering the donkey that carried Jesus into his calling. They thought it was very insignificant. We're on donkey duty. But they didn't realize that, yes, here we are over 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about the two guys that went and untied this donkey out of faith and brought it to Jesus so that he could fulfill his calling. And so what do we learn from this? If you want to find your calling, start with the who. Be faithful to Jesus today, and then when you're faithful, when you serve him with integrity, when you love him with all your heart, when you die to yourself and you spend your life to make Jesus known, when there's less of you, is what I'm trying to say, less of you and more of him, when it's not about your name, it's about his name, it's not about your status, it's about his, you see, he's the one that shed his blood on Calvary for you and I. He's the one that gave his life and he rose again so that you and I could be forgiven. So then if we're going to serve him and if we're going to be called by him, then everything you do, everything I do, we need to do for the glory of God. You don't have to find your calling because your calling will find you. Does that make sense? Even something as meaningless as donkey duty can become meaningful when it's for the one who gave us life. Amen? So my question for you tonight is, what are you called to? You're called to a who before a do. You're called to be like Jesus. You're called to be set apart and to live a holy life. It starts with who? You see, I'm a child of God who's been redeemed and been forgiven by Jesus Christ himself for more sins than you could ever imagine. I'm the only one that knows the cost of my sin because I know my sins. I don't know the cost of yours. I don't know your sins. But for me, you see, I'm called to shepherd this church under the Good Shepherd Jesus. And I'm called to lay down my life for my bride if it need be. And I'm called to disciple my children towards a holy God. And whenever I stand before Jesus one day, I want to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You see, faithful. You've been called by God, set apart, chosen to live a life that just reflects the glory of God in every area. Paul said this, and I want to read it again. As he's saying this, he says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling, to glorify the one who gave it all for you." You see, you're called by God. I want to read those words to you again, and I want you to feel it. I want you to just, if you will, indulge me and close your eyes and just try to feel like this is Paul and he's sitting in a prison and he's got a message for you and me. And I want the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to just speak into your life through his word tonight. He says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you." Man, is the Spirit of God speaking to you tonight? He says, "I beg you to live, to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God." Father, I pray today that you would just speak to us. I pray that you'd let your word just penetrate our hearts and our minds tonight. God, so many times we're wondering what you're asking us to do whenever the real thing you're asking us to do is just live a holy life and to be faithful. And so, God, I don't know what you're calling us in this room to do, but I do know who you're calling us to be, and that's like you. And so, Father, tonight I pray that you would help us, Father, to learn each and every day to be more like you. God, that you would speak to us, Father, through your word. I pray that you'd give each and every one of us a hunger and a desire to get into your word on a daily basis. Father, to feed off of that and to let you speak into our lives and in our hearts. And Father, that's how we become spiritually mature, is by just sitting down and reading your word and allowing it to wash over us and to shine light into the areas that need light to be shined in, and to give wisdom where we need wisdom. And Father, to give correction where we need correction. And Father, as we do that, as we allow you to the privilege of speaking into our lives, God, as we give that to you and we say, God, we need you to speak into us. Father, tonight I pray that you would do that in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, that you would give each and every one of us, including me, God, give me more of a burden, Lord, to know you and to be like you and to be faithful, so that God, whenever it is, whatever it is you ask me to do, whether it's donkey duty or cleaning the bathrooms or preaching up here on Sunday morning, God, whatever you do, I want to do it as unto you. And I want to be faithful in it. And I want to be able to stand before you one day and you say, well done, my good and faithful servants. And so, Father, tonight I pray that you'd speak into our hearts and our lives. Draw us closer and closer to you so that we can see more and more of what's inside of us that needs to be changed, because you're the light of the world. And God, when you come in and you start shining your light, I've all of a sudden begun to see things I didn't see before, and I notice things that I need to correct and change and get rid of. And so, Father, let your light shine into our lives today and penetrate our souls and help us, Lord, to see the things that aren't pleasing to you, and to come to you, Father, knowing that you love us and that you'll forgive us of those things. God, I ask this right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen.